Saturday Night Theatre.
Hey, Pop! What we stopped for, Pop?
We stopped because this is where we're stopping, that's why.
Well, in that field?
In that field it is.
Why are we going to stop here, then?
We've gone far enough. 1 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? Kids is getting fractious and Snow White's down in the dumps. Every mile we get away from London, it's bad news for Snow White. The Pluto's clutch is wearing out. All right, young Bonzo, any more questions?
Yeah, one more. You see what it got written up there, Pop? Oldbury Manor Estate. You did see that?
Oldbury Manor Estate. I fancy that, I do. Very nice address. Mr. Walt Disney and family, Oldbury Manor, Berkshire.
Okay, Pop, here we go.
Well, take it slow now. You're towing a caravan, remember. You're not taking the bends at Brands Hatch. Mind a bleeding gatepost. Right hand down a bit. Mind how you go, Bonzo.
Vivian Pickles, Freddie Jones, John Hollis, and John Strickland in Taking Over by Mervyn Jones.
Daddy!
Yes?
She wants you.
Oh, dear, does she?
Look. Look, Francesca, isn't this a perfect bud? It's a lily, Marlene. Don't you think it's exquisite?
Yes, it's very nice. Daddy, you'd better go along. She's literally boiling. She really is.
If she were literally boiling, Francesca, I should indeed be distressed. I must have a word with your English teacher. However, even if her boiling is metaphorical, some apprehension is justified. I will not delay. Where is she?
In the blue drawing room.
Very well.
Thank you for your warning.
Archibald, something ghastly has happened. Absolutely ghastly.
Calm yourself, Patricia, I beg you. You look very well, and if I may say so, exceptionally beautiful. Francesca also appears to be her normal self. Therefore, whatever may be the source of your alarm, it is surely less than ghastly.
You don't even know what's happened.
No, but I am confident that you are about to inform me.
A collection of caravans have parked themselves in the Long Meadow.
Really?
Yes. I went down to the paddock to see if Broadhurst's repaired that gate yet, which he hasn't, blast him, and there they were.
Caravans, you say?
Three enormous caravans. Hmm. Three cars, several bicycles, and literally scores of people.
Literally scores? More than at the minimum 2 scores?
An extraordinary number of people, anyway.
Ah.
They're all over the Long Meadow. Men, women and children, a regular invasion.
I can't say that I find this occurrence astonishing, let alone ghastly. Indeed, a ready explanation comes to mind. It is the holiday season. Numerous families, often equipped with caravans, pass through our part of Berkshire on their way from London to the West Country. An empty field would appear to them to be a convenient halting place. I dare say they'll be gone by tomorrow. Perhaps by this afternoon.
It didn't look like it. One of the women was putting up a clothesline.
Really, my dear, you cannot regard a clothesline as a durable structure. It is almost the essence of the transitory.
It is not funny, no. Archibald.
I'm sorry.
The Long Meadow belongs to us.
And will continue to belong to us, doubtless, when this incident is forgotten. After all, the Long Meadow, like Oldbury Manor itself, has been in the possession of your family for 4.5 centuries, in spite of disturbances, such as the Civil War, considerably more threatening than this minor irregularity. I repeat, my dear, calm yourself.
Well, if they haven't gone by this time tomorrow, I shall expect you to take steps.
In that event, I'm sure you will instruct me as to the steps to be taken.
I shall.
Mm.
How's the book going?
The book. Mm. Well, I venture to hope that this year will see the completion of part one. I am clearing the way, you see, to coming to grips with the fundamental problem. Indeed, the fundamental problem.
Hey, kids, you lot! Yeah, you lot! You heard me! You keep away from that edge!
Bonzo, you tell them. They've got to keep away from the edge.
Go on, Snow White. They're picking blackberries.
Well, they're not going to pick berries. Black, nor red, nor sky blue, pink. They better learn that for a start. They've been washed, them blackberries. They've been sorted.
You listen to me, kids. You're in the country now. Things is different. Just because something looks nice to eat, you can't reckon it's clean. Like in London.
Some of them berries is poisonous, too. You never know what's poisonous.
This is all just blackberries along here. They ain't poisonous. You make jam out of blackberries.
Oh. Oh, I'll boil them up. I'll make some jam.
Hey, you kids, get your mugs. You put all them berries in your mugs. First one brings me a mug full right up can have a Mars bar. And anybody I see popping them straight in his mouth gets his arse tanned good and proper. So now you know.
Hey, Bonzo.
Hello, Goldie. What's on?
Pop wants you in his caravan. You too, Snow White.
Council of the Tribe, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Council of the Tribe. You seen Pluto?
You having a kip? Hey, you, Mickey. Go get your Uncle Pluto. Tell him he's wanted up the big caravan pronto. Okay?
Oh, here they come. Well, hello there.
Hello, Pop.
Hello, lovely. Right. Everybody here? Bonzo?
Yeah.
Snow White?
Yep.
Pluto?
Yeah.
Where's young Bluebell?
She's looking after the kids. Somebody's got to stay with the kids.
Oh, yeah, all right. Now, I don't know what the rest of you think. It seems to me this place is going to be dead right for the tribe.
Mm.
It's bags of space, nice soft grass. Little ones can't hurt themselves if they try. There's fresh water down that little river, shops down the village, the lot. So we're quids in, right?
Yeah.
Now I say, let's stick to what we've got. And that's the way these things go, you know. The longer you stay, the safer you are. You keep moving, you're bound to run into trouble. What do you think, Bonzo?
Oh, I'm with you, Pop. Smashing little spot this is. I could get really fond of it. I feel at home already.
You, Pluto?
Yeah, it's all right. Get used to it, I suppose.
Snow White? What's the matter, Snow White? You don't look happy.
Oh, I don't mind staying here. Let's give it a try. I just hope we can, that's all. I mean, who does it belong to here? Really?
Well, it belongs to us, girl. Let's have that clear for a start.
Yeah, right.
There was nothing in this field. Nothing growing. No cows. Nothing. We need it. Nobody else needs it. So it's ours. Squatter's rights, that's called.
We better get the kids into school down the village. They can't touch you once you've got the kids in school.
Yeah, well, we can't do that yet. It's holidays. Still, you've got a good point there, Goldie. We'll get it all down there first day it opens.
I'd still like to know who it's belonged to up to now. I mean, everything belongs to somebody, even an old field.
Yeah, I found out all about that, Pluto. You know that big house? See it from here, top of the hill? Oldbury Manor, that's called. Now, there's a lordly family, name of Pulteney. Been here since the days of King Henry VIII. It's all theirs, down to the stone wall.
Where'd you find out, then?
Went down a boozer last night. It's a nice little boozer, it is. Tancaster Arms. Well, that's what the family was called, Tancaster.
Tancaster? I thought you said Pulteney.
Yeah, started out Tancaster. Must have changed it somewhere along the line. I expect they had their reasons, like some others I've heard of.
Oh, all right, young Bonzo, that's enough about that.
All right, Pop, no offence. I heard something else, too. We got to watch out for Lady Pulteney. She's a proper terror. Thinks her word's law, see what I mean? They was going to build a hotel up by the bridge. She got it stopped. She's the one who's going to put a bomb under us if anyone does.
Right. Dad, you told us. She comes round making trouble, she'll find out where she gets off. I don't hold with bossy females, I never did. I'll tell her straight, we don't want no aggro, we just want a place to live.
Yeah, that's right, that is. Anyway, how'd they get in here to start with? Lord Tancaster or Pulteney or whatever it was.
Oh, God knows.
Oh, I know all about that, I do. They must have moved in when the old monks had to scarper.
What monks is that, Goldie?
Oh, proper monks, you know, R.C. All these old manors belonged to monks in times gone by.
Oh.
There they were, saying their prayers, not bothering nobody. But then they got on the wrong side of the king. You know, that one Henry VIII. Because they didn't hold with him swapping round and having eight wives. So he chucked them out. Monks all out, he says, just like that. So they had to up sticks, just like a notice to quit from the council.
Oh, yeah.
So then the big lords comes crawling round and they said to the king, now then, your majesty, how's about that nice little manor? It's vacant, isn't it? So the king says, yeah, come to think of it, it is vacant, yeah. Needs looking after. You've always been a good mate. Why don't you move in? And that's what they done. So, if this lady whatnot tries to come the old strong arm stuff with us, we just say we've moved in same as your lot did.
And
me, Daddy.
Ah, Francesca. Yes. Yes, I should be glad of a few words, if your avocations permit. Sit down, my dear.
Oh.
No, no, no. Take the comfortable chair.
Oh, thanks. How's the great book going?
Progressing, steadily progressing. Great is an adjective that should be used with the utmost caution, but I venture to hope that it will be the definitive book on runes.
Funny word, runes, isn't it?
It's an old Norse word, probably derived from the Gothic. It was applied from the beginning to those fascinating inscriptions that are found in Scandinavian countries. My collection is almost complete, unless any more are discovered.
Will you soon have the book finished, then?
Alas, no. That's only the starting point for the inquiry. The real problem remains. You see, the runic alphabet has been deciphered. We can, in fact, read all the runes. But the runes of the 6th century are written from left to right, and the runes of the 7th century are written from right to left. Why? Ah, Francesca, why?
I expect they changed their minds.
Evidently. But the reason for the change is what eludes us. Better scholars than I have made repeated efforts to resolve the problem, all of them fruitless. But I mustn't ramble on about my runes, or I'll never stop. No, my reason for requesting your presence was to ask whether you have made any observations about our uninvited guests in the Long Meadow.
Oh, them.
Yeah.
Mummy's furious about them, you know. They've been here for 3 days, and it looks as though they're really settling in.
And how do you view that prospect, Francesca?
I don't mind. I mean, they're not doing us any harm, are they?
That's the attitude I'm inclined to take. You know, there's a certain quality of philosophic tolerance that is natural to the Pulteneys, but appears to be absent in the Tankersters, and your mother, bless her, is very much a Tankerster.
Kathy!
Now, Archibald, I insist... Oh, Francesca, what are you doing in here?
Francesca's begun to take a sympathetic interest in runes, my dear.
Indeed. Now, Archibald, I insist that you must take some firm action about those people in the Long Meadow. I observed them carefully with your field glasses. They'll stay forever if they're not removed.
I doubt if I can remove them, you know. The disparity in numbers, to say nothing of physical energy, is formidable.
Don't try to be funny, Archibald. It doesn't suit you.
I'm sorry.
You must go to the police.
Well, I'm sure our hard-worked police have much more pressing duties. Really, Patricia, it's difficult to say what harm we suffer from their presence. We've never made any use of the Long Meadow.
Oh, you are tiresome. The whole point of owning a place like Oldbury Manor is to have land you don't make use of. We might as well be living in a suburban semi with neighbours over the garden fence. Besides, the Long Meadow's next to the paddock. We have some quite valuable horses.
They wouldn't do anything to the horses, Mummy.
Kindly keep out of this discussion, Francesca. If you're really learning about Daddy's runes, it'll tax your mental powers quite enough. Now, Archibald, the position is quite clear. They are on our land, they are trespassing, the police are there to stop trespassing, so you must go to the police.
Yeah, well, my dear, if anyone is to see the police, I think it should be you. I'm sure you could put the case much more forcefully than I could, and I really must press on with my work. As I was just explaining to Francesca, I've hit on quite a promising line of inquiry. The runes may have been written from right to left because of the inspiration of Hebrew. Of course, our knowledge of Hebrew could have reached Scandinavia in the 7th century is far from obvious.
You refuse to make the effort to go to the police?
Shall I say the task doesn't appeal to me as it evidently does to you?
Very well. I haven't time to argue. I'll assume the responsibility. I always do.
I do see your point of view, I assure you, Lady Patricia.
I should hope you do, Inspector. What other point of view is there? The point of view of the trespassers, perhaps?
It's not quite so clear-cut, that's what I'm trying to explain. Trespass isn't an offence unless it's aggravated by damage. Lots of people fail to appreciate that. But it's open to you to bring a civil suit for the recovery of your property.
What? You mean go to court and pay lawyers to get our own land back? I never heard such nonsense.
Well, I'm afraid this is a matter for the civil law, not for the police force.
I don't know what the country's coming to. In my father's time, a request to the police was met by prompt action, not hair-splitting argument.
Well, I wasn't here in the late Lord Tancaster's time, but I dare say quite a few things were different then. I tell you what I'll do, Lady Patricia. I'll have one of my men watching the area on a regular basis. If I have a report of trees being chopped down, anything like that, I'll take action without hesitation. That's fair, I hope.
It is monstrously unfair. You're telling me I've got to wait until damage is done? Your duty is to prevent it.
I've got a book of rules concerning my duty. That's just what I'm trying to make clear.
And I wish to make clear that I'm totally dissatisfied with your attitude. I shall see our Member of Parliament, Sir James Carstairs.
Good. I was going to suggest that. Your MP is always the best man to go to with a problem like this.
It is not a problem, Inspector. You are the problem.
Oh. Hey, Pop. You wait, Pop.
Of course I'm awake. You wriggling about like a snake on hot bricks. I don't get much chance to sleep, do I?
Can't get a wink.
Oh.
So noisy here. Them trees waving about all night. You get them birds starting up crack of dawn. Squeak, squeak, call, call. Right through your head.
It's always noisy in the country. Never gets proper quiet like in London. You'll get used to it.
Listen to them trees. I thought they stayed still, trees.
Oh, it's a windy night.
Yeah, it's always a windy night. Wind blows here more than what it does in London.
Don't talk stupid, Goldie. Wind is wind. It's the same everywhere. Stands to reason.
No, it's not. Blows more here, there's nothing to stop it. That stands to reason, that does.
Please yourself. It don't bother the kids, though, does it? Out like a light they are the minute they lay down.
Yeah, no wonder the way they rush around all day.
They love it here, don't they, the kids?
Yeah, I think it's great. Being out in the open all the time, this farm weather and all. Mine, I think different in the winter. That's providing we're still here in the winter.
Of course we'll still be here. You heard what I said. Squatter's rights.
Yeah, old Bill come round again today. Watching us like a bleeding hawk.
Oh, you don't want to worry about country coppers.
No, they got something up their sleeve, Pop. I don't mean the coppers neither, I mean them.
Them? What them?
Them, up the big house. Lord and Lady Iron Mighty.
Oh.
You'd think they got enough to spare, wouldn't you? Bloody great house. Garden as big as a park, and they got that lake. They got all that. You'd think they could share it out a bit.
I'd like to see you share it out if it was all yours.
Oh, I don't know. That must be lonely for them, it must be. Just him and her and one kid. Don't seem right.
It's a pleasure to see you, James, as always.
And a pleasure for me to see you, Patricia, as always.
Archibald will be joining us in a few minutes. I never disturb him when he's absorbed in his rooms. Whiskey and soda, James, I seem to remember.
You remember perfectly, Patricia. Although I must say, I sometimes incline towards iced lemonade in this weather. Extraordinary summer we're having. Extraordinary.
Yes, isn't it?
Ah, cheers.
Well, James, I trust you'll be able to do something about this invasion we're enduring. You must have seen them as you came up the drive. It's really intolerable.
I took the matter up as soon as you spoke to me, Patricia. It must be most annoying for you. You have all my sympathy.
We don't need sympathy. We need action.
Yes, yes, quite so, quite so. Unfortunately, that's where the difficulties begin. I find on inquiry that these people, name of Disney, they all seem to be called Disney, were living until recently in an old tenement building in the East End of London. That building is scheduled for demolition, so they had to leave. Consequently, they qualify as homeless persons.
Well, that's scarcely our fault.
Oh, no, no, indeed, indeed. The borough of Tower Hamlets has a statutory duty to find them new accommodation. I've spoken to the housing officer, and he fully recognizes that. However, these Disneys were reluctant to be split up. The relationships are obscure and probably by no means legal, but they regard themselves as a single family. While discussions were in progress, they acquired caravans and left London. Well, naturally, that was the relief to the Tower Hamlets authorities. You see, Patricia, under the Homeless Persons Act, now that they're in Berkshire, they've become a Berkshire responsibility. This Tower Hamlets chap pointed that out with some relish, I might add. Actually, what he said to me was, the ball's in your court, brother.
Oh, that's absolutely idiotic.
There it is, though. In order to get them off your land, we'd have to find them alternative accommodation. All of them. I've no idea how we could do that, Patricia.
Are you telling me that people can just move in? Heavens above. We might as well be living in Russia.
Oh, I doubt if you'd have a place like Oldbury Manor if you were living in Russia, you know.
Oh, don't be so tiresome, James. Really, you are our MP. You represent us. When we make a request, we expect you to do what we require. That's democracy, as I understand it.
Democracy does sometimes move very slowly, I'm afraid.
I see I can't rely on anybody. You're as bad as that spineless police inspector. I shall have to make my own decision. Everything always falls on my shoulders. It's so unfair. I'm only a woman, after all.
Don't say only, Patricia. You know that you're a very exceptional woman.
You're saying that to push all the responsibility onto me, just like Archibald, just like everybody else. Really, men are so disappointing.
I don't think you've always found me disappointing, Patricia.
Oh, now, James, we won't refer to that episode. That belongs to the past. We're both lucky that Archibald was so decent about it.
Patricia.
That...
Patricia.
That's quite enough, James. Here comes Archibald now. Archibald, you may be interested, though perhaps not surprised, to know that our Member of Parliament is unable to take effective steps to get those people off our land.
How are you, James?
Archibald.
It's quite a time since we had the pleasure of welcoming you. Patricia is looking after you, I trust.
Oh, thank you, yes.
I'll have a little sherry, please, my dear.
I was just explaining to Patricia the legal position is rather difficult.
Yes, indeed, I thought it might be. It appears to me, Patricia, that we shall have to come to terms with our new neighbours, at least for the time being. With goodwill on both sides,
I... sherry, dear?
Oh, thank you. Cheers. With goodwill on both sides, it should be possible to establish a modus vivendi.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. And I'm the one who'll have to establish it, no doubt.
Oh, well, my dear, you always were so capable.
What are you doing then, Bonzo?
I'm mending this gate. Just about falling off its hinges, it was. Looks like they don't know how to look after this place, they don't.
Don't suppose they care. They got plenty of it.
Yeah, well, I don't like to see things let go. There. That's more like it. So, how's tricks with you, Snow White? Feel at home a bit more?
Can't say as I do, honest. You never see nothing happen round here. A load of cows went along the road this morning. Cows in the road, fancy. And that's all. Today's big event, load of cows.
Well, that's the country.
Yeah, it's not natural, is it? I've been down the shops yesterday, down the village. It's all so slow. You don't see them nip in and get what they want like in a proper shop. All stood there waiting to be served like it was a tea party. With one bloke there. He come in for his fags. He looked right through me. I might have been a plate of glass. No interest, I mean.
Not used to that, are you?
No, I'm not.
You still miss Les, Snow White? You do, don't you?
Of course I do. I don't know. I wonder what's wrong with me sometimes. I look after them, make them comfortable, take note of their likes and dislikes, then one fine day they're off like the London Marathon.
Oh.
There's me stuck with another nipper. It's happened 3 times. I'm about cheesed off with it.
Don't lose heart, love. There's always another one coming along. It's like buses. I'm on me tot too, don't forget that.
Oh, you won't be for long. It's easier for a bloke. Lots easier. You miss Poppy, Bonzo?
Oh.
I bet you don't.
Nah, that's different. I was due for a change. Did me a favour when she bunked off.
See what I mean? Wish I was a man, I really do. You'd have got yourself fixed up again ages ago if we were still in London. Don't know what you're going to find down here, though.
Well, you never know. No telling, is there?
I say, excuse me, I say?
Hello, hello.
You talking to us?
Yes. Yes, I wish to have a few words with you.
Always ready to oblige. You must be Lady Pulteney, that right?
Lady Patricia Pulteney.
Oh, lovely name that is, Patricia. I'm Bonzo. This here is Snow White, my sister.
Morning.
Good morning. Another delightful morning, isn't it?
A proper scorcher, I call it.
Well, there are certain things I wish to make clear to you people.
Well, I'll be running along, if you'll excuse me. I've got a load of washing to do. I'm probably caught up with myself since we got here.
Of course, it's set out some washing, isn't it? Now, Mr. You're aware, of course, that this meadow belongs to Oldbury Manor?
Oh, beautiful spot, this Oldbury Manor. You know what? We couldn't have landed up anywhere nicer if we'd searched the old country. The minute I set eyes on it, I said to myself, somebody's fond of this place, somebody appreciates it. And we appreciate it likewise. So, we'll get along like good neighbours, won't we? Always was good neighbours, our tribe. You ask anybody where we come from. Fair dues, no aggro. Shake on it.
Oh, just a minute, please. My husband and I do indeed wish to avoid any unnecessary conflict. Now that you're here, we must establish a modus vivendi.
Uh-huh.
You must realise, though, that we're not accustomed to seeing our land occupied by absolute strangers. It might have been better if you'd asked our permission in advance.
Wouldn't have got it, though, would we?
Frankly, no.
Well, that's the answer then, isn't it? But now you've had a bit of time to get used to us, we'll get along all right, won't we?
Well, that remains to be seen. This land has been in my family since the 16th century, sure. Let me tell you. I regard it as a trust. I shall take a serious view of any damage or any unauthorized changes. What have you been doing here, may I ask?
Mending the gate.
Oh.
Well, needed mending, did you know? You might not have noticed.
Well, yes, in point of fact, I've been trying to get it repaired for some time. You seem to have done a competent job.
Always try and give satisfaction, Lady Pulteney.
Lady Patricia.
Knew we was going to be friends. Always try and give satisfaction, Patricia. And you don't want to worry about no damage, you don't. First day we got here, we told the kids, any of them break a branch off a tree, he gets his arse tanned good and proper.
You appear to have a great many kids between you.
Oh, that's right. They sort of accumulate.
Are any of them yours, may I ask?
Three or four.
Well, you must know whether it's three or four.
Oh, it's funny about that. Look, I'll give you a rundown, seeing as you're interested. Start with me old man, Pop, we all call him. There's three of us from him and me mum. I don't hardly remember her. She scarped when I was just a nipper. There's me, there's me brother Pluto, and there's Snow White, what you just met.
What extraordinary name.
Well, I got called Bonzo on account of I got a face like a dog.
Oh, I shouldn't say that's fair.
Should have seen me when I was a pup. Well, then, Pop had to change his name on account of he had a spot of bother. So he called himself after Walt Disney. Sort of a tribute, see what I mean? Way he looks at it, nobody ever done more to make millions happy than Walt Disney.
Very true. I was extremely fond of the Disney films when I was a child.
Right. So you can see how me brother's called Pluto and me sister's called Snow White. Now, you see that bird over there?
What bird?
No, not a bird what flies. That human, female bird. That's Bluebell. She used to be my bird, then she switched to Pluto. She's had four kids. One of them was just when she was switching.
You mean you're not sure whether that child is yours or Pluto's?
Well, I don't signify. She's one of the tribe. I've got another kid, too. His mother was a bird called Poppy. She scarpered just last year. Didn't want to take the kid with her, so he stayed with the tribe. Then Snow White, that's me sister, remember? She's got three kids. She never settled with a bloke, though. They sort of came and went. Well, that's all, except for Pop's other kids, what he's had with Goldie. Growing up, now they are. Mickey, that's the oldest one, he's 14.
It all sounds extremely complicated. No wonder you call it a tribe.
Well, that's it. One thing we all swear by, we're not going to get split up. Break their hearts, it would, the little ones.
Well, I must be going. I'm glad we've had this conversation. I believe it's cleared the air.
Pop will be sorry he missed you. He's gone down a village, got a bit of business there. Look, tell you what, you drop in for a cuppa any day you like. Lord Pulteney, too.
Oh, I doubt if you'll make my husband's acquaintance. He works very hard. And, by the way, he isn't Lord Pulteney, he's Mr. Pulteney.
Oh, half a mo. He's Mr. Pulteney, but you're Lady Pulteney.
Oh, no, I'm Lady Patricia Pulteney, because my father was Lord Tankister.
All sounds a bit complicated.
Hey, you! Stop! That's my pony!
Hello. All right, keep your ear on. Just stand and trot round. Didn't know it's yours.
Well, he is mine.
You want to have a go, then?
No, I want you to get off and give him a rest.
It's important not to get him in a lather, especially in this hot weather. There. Calm down, Star. Calm down. Calm down. It's all right. I'm here.
Why is he called Star?
Because he's got a star, of course.
Where's the star? I'll have a patch on his snozzle. See what I mean? What's your name, then?
Francesca Pootney.
Ah, pleased to meet you. My name's Mickey Disney.
How do you do?
Sorry I got on your horse. Thought it'd be okay.
You don't call them horses. You call them ponies.
Ah, just a young'un, is he? Goes fast, though. How fast can he go, flat out?
They're not bred for speed. They're bred for jumping. Star can jump that gate.
Jump that gate? Honest, by yourself or were you on him?
With me on him, of course.
Oh, must be great. Your mum and dad ride and all?
My father doesn't, but my mother does. She rides to hounds.
Rides to what?
She goes fox hunting.
Honest? You go fox hunting too?
Yes, I started last season.
You see them kill a fox ever?
I did once.
Oh, it must be exciting.
No, it isn't exciting. It's the chase that's exciting. I didn't like the death. It made me feel sick.
Yeah, it's not right for girls, I don't suppose.
Mickey?
What?
If you want to ride my pony again, I don't mind.
Oh, Ta, thanks a lot. That's real nice of you, that is.
Only, you must ask me first. You will, won't you?
Okay. It's a deal.
Well, look who's here. The Wanderer returns. Here, Mickey. Did Pop tell you we wanted the car washed today, or did I dream?
Sorry, ma'am. Forgot.
Yeah, well, you won't forget when Grab's out, will
you?
So
sorry.
Where you been, then?
At the manor. In the garden.
What you been doing in their garden, I'd like to know?
It's all right, ma'am. Fran asked me.
Who asked you?
Fran from up there. We've been playing croquet.
Playing what?
It's a game they got. Smashing game it is. You've got this sort of hammer, see? You've got to hit the ball through the hoops. And if the other side's ball hits your ball, you're knackered. Can I have a second?
Well, little Lord Disney, if you've got any time to spare from riding horses and playing croquet and chatting up your friend Fran, your old mum would always be grateful for a visit from you. And now watch the bleeding car.
It's all very well for you, Archibald. You've got your runes. You can shut yourself away in your study. You don't value the garden and the grounds as I do. I tell you, they're steadily encroaching. I don't know where it's going to stop. First it was the paddock. That boy started riding Francesca's pony. I had to accept that. Then they came up to the garden to play croquet. I wasn't consulted, of course. And now they're swimming in the lake. I saw them, all those innumerable children, diving in and splashing about and simply terrifying the ducks.
Yep, it's a phenomenally hot summer. The lake must be very tempting for them, surely. Especially as there is no public swimming pool within reasonable reach.
Swimming pool? They wouldn't be allowed in a swimming pool.
Why not?
Archibald, they were not wearing costumes. They were naked.
You observed them through the field glasses, I take it.
That remark is in extremely poor taste. Try to realise Francesca might happen to go down to the lake at any time. Some of them are quite big boys. I think I must have a word with that young man. Thank goodness he's amenable to reason.
Bonzo, you mean?
Yes, Bonzo. Mm.
Well, you know how it is with kids, Lady Patricia. They nagged and they nagged. We didn't have the heart to say no. But if you want to put that lake out of bounds, that's it. They might not like it, but they'll do what they're told.
Oh, I should be reluctant to do that, Bonzo. It is frightfully oppressive weather, particularly for children. And now that the precedent's been set. But there is one request I wish to make. Do you think you could arrange for them to wear swimming costumes?
What, like at the baths? Oh, suppose so. Never thought they'd need to do that out here miles from anywhere.
I'd better explain. You're aware that I have a daughter?
Yeah, Fran. Nice kid.
How shall I put it? Francesca is 12. It's an impressionable age. I trust that you see why I'm concerned.
She ain't never seen one, then?
I beg your pardon? No. So far as I'm aware, she has never seen one. You know, Bonzo,
Every family has its own way of bringing up children. Something that might not seem important to you.
Right, you don't need to say no more. You and me, we done a deal, remember? Fair dues, no aggro, no arguments. So, swim trunks it is.
Thank you, Bonzo. That's very understanding of you. I'm sorry to put you to the trouble.
Oh, no trouble. Snow White and Bluebell, they got their sewing machines. They'll run up them trunks in a jiffy.
I'll meet the expense, of course. It is my request, after all.
No, wouldn't hear of it. The tribe's never short of the odd bob.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. I have been wondering. I don't wish to intrude, but I'm really curious. How do you manage to maintain the tribe?
Never had to worry about that. That's the truth. There's always one-off jobs once you pass the word around. Me and Pluto, we're pretty handy. Have a go at anything. Building works, painting, carpentry, plumbing, roofs and gutters, you name it. Pop's a wonder. He got a magic touch. He brought us up that way.
You must be very capable. I've always admired capable men. I didn't marry one, I'm afraid. Changing the ribbon on a typewriter is entirely beyond my husband's capacities. Oh,
can't all be the same, can we? He's writing a book, ain't he, Mr. Pulteney? Couldn't do that if I was to hang for it. I haven't got the brains nor the education.
He's a long way from finishing the book.
Well, never mind, so long as he's happy. That's what counts, isn't it?
Yes. I suppose that is what counts.
Tell you what, now we got on to talking about this, any odd job you want done round a manor, like I said, you know, roofs, gutters, for instance, you just slip me the word. Get on with it right away, no messing. Strictly cash, of course.
Well, thank you, Bonzo. I'll bear it in mind.
This your room, then, Fran?
Yes, this is my room.
Reckon it's all right, me being up here?
It's my room, isn't it? I invited you. Anyway, nobody's going to know. Mummy's out all day. She's gone to a point to point. And Daddy never notices anything. Besides, I've got something to tell you, Mickey. It's going to be all right for the tribe to play in the house when it's raining.
Honest? How'd you swing that one, Fran?
Well, I asked Mummy very politely, and I said there really isn't any difference between playing in the garden and playing in the house. It's all Oldbury Manor. So she said she'd allow it if I keep an eye on you and you don't break anything or mess things up.
Why, that's great. Hey, Frank, you really got this room all to yourself? Hmm? You're all on your tod when you come up here.
On your tod? What does that mean?
On your tod, Sloane, on your own.
Oh, yes, I am.
Wouldn't suit me. Feel funny. What do you do?
Oh, I read. I do my school homework. Listen to records. And I do my violin practice.
You play the violin, Fran?
Well, I'm learning.
Oh, it must be great being able to play something. Me Uncle Pluto, he's not me uncle really, I call him uncle. He can play the Joanna.
The what?
You know, the piano. Plays really well, he does. Smashing listening to him. Play any kind of tune. He knows hundreds. Still, I reckon it's quite easy. Just got to put your fingers to the right place at the right time. It's lots harder playing the violin, isn't it?
It's not as hard as all that. Would you like to hear me play?
Oh, yeah, love to.
Okay.
Smashing, that is, Fran. That's real nice. Here, can I go?
Oh, you can't play the violin if you haven't learned.
Oh, my, out of touch. Like we're riding horses. Oh, come on, Fran, this I go.
All right, Mickey. There, I told you.
Looked easy when you done it. I reckon I must be holding it wrong. Hey, Fran, them pictures we see coming up here, are they all your family?
Yes, mostly. The Tankerster family, that is. That's Mummy's family.
Oh, funny to think of them living here hundreds of years ago. All them birds in long dresses, geezers with wigs and swords, all going up and down them stairs, just like us. Having kids here, getting old, then dying here. Spooky, innit? Are there any ghosts here, Fran? There is.
There's a ghost story. It's about Lady Mary Tancaster. She lived in the 18th century. She fell in love with the village blacksmith, but of course she wasn't allowed to marry him. In fact, she wasn't allowed to see him. So she pined away and died. And and she's supposed to walk down the grand staircase on dark nights and go out through the garden door to meet her lover.
You ever see her, Fran?
No, silly, it's only a story. I don't believe in ghosts. You don't believe in ghosts, do you, Mickey?
I don't know. Never did when I heard about them. You got one in your own ass. That's different somehow.
No, Archibald, it is not a case of changing my mind. It would be better if we'd never set eyes on them. There's no question about that. However, placed as we are, we have no option but to come to terms with them. You said so yourself.
Certainly I did.
Very well, then. It involves a certain amount of give and take, and I must say that they've proved grateful for every concession I've made. As for letting the children play indoors, well, it's only logical now the weather has broken and it keeps on raining like this. After all, it's no difference in principle between allowing them in the garden and allowing them in the house.
There is a certain difference in proximity.
Well, if the noise disturbs you, you must let me know. But really, they're surprisingly well behaved, considering their background. They've been warned that they must be, of course. And if any problems arise, I can have a word with Bonzo. I found that I can always discuss things with him in a reasonable way. He's actually quite an intelligent man, you know. Oh, that reminds me.
Yes, dear?
Bonzo is also very capable in a practical way. He claims to be able to turn his hand to carpentry, among other skills. He's offered to do any odd jobs that we might need. I thought, how about getting him to repair the minstrel's gallery?
Repair the minstrel's gallery? Does it need repairing?
Of course it does. It'll fall into the dining room one of these days. I told you ages ago, but you've forgotten, naturally. I had Broadhurst in to look at it. He put in a perfectly ridiculous estimate. Hundreds of pounds. Well, it was quite out of the question. I was in despair. I thought we'd have to have the gallery removed. And that'd be such a shame. I'm sure Bonzo would do the job for a fraction of what Broadhurst wanted to charge.
Have you asked him?
No, no, not yet. But I don't think there can be any doubt about it. One's dealing with Broadhurst on a commercial basis, after all. It's bound to be different when there's a personal relationship.
I'm intrigued to hear that you now have a personal relationship with Bonzo.
Well, not exactly personal, Archibald. I believe you're trying to tease me.
Oh, my dear, I shouldn't presume.
Care for a cup of tea, Bonzo?
Cup of tea? What time is it, then? Oh, blimey, it's 4 o'clock. Never have thought it. You get stuck into a job, you lose track.
Archibald is just the same when he's immersed in his book. Milk and sugar?
That's a ticket. Oh, lumps, is it? I'll have 3 if there's no extra charge.
How's the work going?
Oh, not so bad. You'll have the old minstrels up here any day now, if you can find any. I'm copying all this detail carefully as I can. Want it to look right, don't we? And then I'll put some stain on what they use in the reproduction business. It's amazing the effect you get. Fool anybody, barring experts.
I look forward to seeing it. I hope the tea is the way you like it.
Couldn't be better. Funny thing, you know. Some can make a good cuppa and some can't. Take my last bird, Poppy. Remember I told you about her?
Yes, I recall your mentioning her.
Well, she had her points, Poppy, no denying that. But make a cup of tea? Oh, she was bleeding hopeless. Minute I come home and found she'd scarper with another bloke, you know what I did? Made myself a proper cup of tea. First one for months.
I see. That must have softened the shock.
Well, you got to take things as they come. For instance, when a tribe first come here, only a couple of months ago, innit? I wouldn't have believed this. Our kids and your Fran playing together, me fixing up the old gallery, and you bringing me a nice cuppa.
I certainly shouldn't have believed it, but I assure you that I have no regrets.
Nor me neither. Had the wrong idea about you, Lady Patricia, that's a fact. Never ought to have believed what they say about you down the village.
Oh? What do they say about me in the village?
Well, and don't go taking offence now. They say you're a bit toffee-nosed.
Toffee-nosed?
You know, stuck up.
Oh, I see. I'm afraid I may have acquired that reputation. We are the only real family in the neighbourhood. But actually, the Tankersters have never been toffee-nosed. Quite the reverse in some cases. Lady Mary Tankerster in the 18th century fell passionately in love with the village blacksmith.
Honest? They get off together?
No, I'm afraid not. It's a sad story.
Oh, tell us about it.
Some other time. Bonzo.
What?
Now we know each other, you don't think I'm toffee-nosed, do you?
Oh, of course not. I'll tell you one thing, though. You don't want to go round worrying what people think about you. You want to be yourself, that's all. Sod the lot of them, be yourself.
Is that your philosophy, Bonzo?
Oh, I don't know about philosophy. That's me motto.
Sod the lot of them, be yourself. Is that it?
You got it.
It's a marvellous motto.
And you know what? You're laughing.
Well, it's very amusing.
I ain't never seen you laugh before. You've made my day.
Nah, I reckon he's still up the manor, working on his minstrel's gallery or whatever it's called. God, he got really keen on that job, Bonzo has.
Tell him I've done those jeans he wanted me to mend, will you? I can't stop, I've got to go down the village.
You're going down the village a lot these fine evenings, Snow White. You meeting somebody? Come on, let's hear about it.
Well, that's right, I am meeting somebody.
Good. That's good news. Somebody you really fancy.
Yeah, I do fancy him quite a bit. I reckon I fancy him more than I did Les. More than any of them, come to think of it. He's a bit slow in the head, mind, but then you've got to expect that. He's always lived down here in the country.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got nice manners, though. He brings me flowers when he sees me. He might not buy them. They might come out of somebody's garden. Still, it is flowers.
That sounds all right. What's he do for a living?
Oh, he's got a chicken farm. Thousands and thousands of chickens. He never saw nothing like it.
God, you're onto a good thing this time, you are, Snow White. A bloke what's got a chicken farm can't up sticks and scarper one day to the next, can he? I mean, he can't just leave all them chickens. That's the reason.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You've done well, Snow White. You really have. We'll keep the old tribe in fresh eggs. Well, now Pop's got a bit of business going. Bonzo working on the woodwork up the manor. And I've got the village sewed up for window cleaning. We're quids in. Might stick to Oldbury the rest of her lives, I wouldn't wonder.
It's funny the way it's turned out, isn't it? Never would have dreamed I could have stuck it all this way from London, but now I don't mind.
Of course you don't mind. You've got a bloke you really fancy. Well, makes it all the difference, doesn't it?
That's the truth.
I'll tell you what has turned out funny. You getting yourself fixed up quicker than Bonzo. He'll need to put his roller skates on. He's not going to click with any nice birds if he spends all his time shut up in that old manor.
Don't you be so sure, Pluto. You don't want to worry about Bonzo. He's never gone short. Not for long, he hasn't. He'll come up with a surprise one of these days. You mark my words.
Here's your tea, Bonzo.
What, char up already? Always on the dot. I don't know how you manage it. Well, there's your minstrel's gallery, nearly good as new, Lady Patricia. I'll just go round it once more with the stain and that'll be it.
I'm extremely grateful to you, Bonzo. You've done a marvellous job.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, it really has. I don't often get a chance to work on something like this. It's worth looking after the old manor, isn't it?
That's what I feel. I don't think of it simply as my property, I think of it as a trust.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that first little chat we had. You want to look out for all this woodwork, you know.
Oh?
All your structures, sad. Mind these old stone walls. You don't ever want to worry about them. Take an earthquake to shift them. Wood's tricky stuff, though. You get damp creeping in, you might be in dead trouble. Mm-hmm. Especially considering you've got so many valuable things here. Pictures and all.
I see. Yes. Perhaps we're overdue for a thorough inspection. It's so difficult to find anybody you can rely on. That's the problem. Oh, until you came along, that is.
I've been looking at these pictures, you know. Must have been nice getting a real artist to come along and paint your picture. You can't touch it with a photo, can you?
No, indeed. It depends on the artist, of course. That one's a Rumney.
Rumney? Good, was he?
Oh, he was one of the most famous English portrait painters.
Is that right? I never had a chance to learn about art, that kind of caper. I wish I had.
Oh, never too late to learn, Bonzo. All you need is a capacity for appreciation. And I can see you've got that.
Yeah. I appreciate what looks nice, I reckon. Mind you, you couldn't go wrong painting a smashing bird like that. One of the family, was she?
Yes, that's the fourth countess. She was my great-great-great-grandmother, if I've got the greats right. In the direct line, anyway.
I might have known it. A lovely bit of stuff.
She was considered to be one of the great beauties of her time.
I bet she was.
Look at that face. Look at them lips. You want to walk right up and give her a smacker. Nice pair of Bristols, too.
Beg your pardon?
Well, low-cut dress like that, she wanted everyone to know.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Must run in the family. Come right down to you in a direct line.
Bonzo, are you paying me a compliment?
Just stating a fact. Nobody told you lately.
Told me what? That I have a nice pair of Bristols?
That's it.
No, I don't remember being told that. In so many words.
It's no good having them without nobody appreciates them, is it?
Would you like another cup of tea, Ponzi?
Archibald, I want a word with you before you settle down to work.
Certainly, my dear. I hope no more problems have arisen.
Oh, no, not at all. Everything's going admirably. Bonzo's finished the work on the minstrel's gallery, and it really looks superb. But he's warned me that much of the woodwork in the house requires attention. If you agree, I intend to get him to repair the grand staircase. You know the floorboards creak every time you walk on them. It's really quite tiresome. I'm sure Bonzo would do an excellent job. And, of course, his charges are extremely reasonable.
Very well, my dear. I know that I can rely on your judgment in such matters.
I'll speak to him today, then. How's the book going, Archibald?
Well, I'm afraid that complications have arisen. Some of these right-to-left runes appear to have been incorrectly dated. I'm virtually sure they must be 5th century. If so, it brings the whole chronology into question, and my faculties are not at their best today. I think I've got one of my headaches coming on. Will the children be playing indoors again this afternoon?
They may be. It looks as though it's going to rain again. I'm sorry if it disturbs you, Archibald. You did agree to it, you know.
Oh, yes, I did. It would be churlish of me to place my convenience above the pleasure of so many others, including Francesca, but unfortunately my study is very close to what is often the centre of activities.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Of course, this room wasn't designed as a study. It used to be the billiard room in the old days. It is a very large room for a study, don't you think? Actually, if you weren't using it, it would make an ideal playroom for the children.
Possibly some rearrangement is called for.
Yes, possibly so. I'll give some thought to it. Bonzo, what are you doing? Bonzo, you mustn't. Not here on the grand staircase. It's ridiculous. Anybody might see us. Bonzo, let me go. Stop doing that. Bonzo, really. Oh, Bonzo.
5th century or 6th. That is the problem. Characteristically 5th century. Surely. Oh, dear. What a dilemma.
Bonzo?
Yes, ma'am?
I still can't think how this happened.
Ah, way it always happens. You look at each other, get the message, then bingo.
Yes, that does seem to describe it. It's extraordinary. We were simply having a conversation on the grand staircase of all places, and now here we are.
Here we are, nice and comfy.
Yes, actually, I bought a new mattress in the sales this year.
Well, you must have known you'd have a good use for it.
How could I possibly have known? And even this afternoon, I had no intention.
You're not sorry, Trish, are you?
What did you call me?
Trish? Well, I can't go on calling you Lady Patricia, can I?
Well, presumably not in these circumstances. No, I won't pretend that I'm sorry. Quite the reverse. I did enjoy it, Bonzo.
Good. That makes two of us. Oh, you're the tops, Trish. Honest, you are. You know, while we was having it off that last time, guess what I was thinking? You look like a dead ringer for that bird in the picture.
The 4th Countess?
That's the one. Pity old Rumley ain't around now. Do a lovely picture of you the way you look this minute, he would.
Rumley didn't paint nudes, Bonzo.
I wonder if the fourth count has ever behaved like this. The fourth earl was away a lot. He commanded the guards in the Peninsular War.
Oh, I'll bet she did. You only got to look at her. Ah, they all do, though, don't they?
Women? They all do.
Well, them as can.
Yes, perhaps that's true. Them as can. Those who can.
Yeah, those who can. You got to take me in hand, Trish. First time I've ever been with a bird in your class.
I hope I've convinced you that I'm not toffee-nosed.
Oh, you got to forget about that, love. I don't reckon you're toffee-nosed. I reckon you're proud. And you got plenty to be proud of. I wouldn't have you no different. Any different, that ought to be, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It should. Oh, it's delightful lying here talking like this. Mm-hmm. Oh, we must keep an eye on the time, though. Archibald and I generally have a sherry when he stops working. Oh, good Lord. How am I going to explain this to Archibald?
Well, can't have heard us, can he? And you said he's dead to the world once he gets stuck into those old runes.
Oh, I shall have to tell him. We've always been honest with each other.
I don't see no call to do that, Trish. It's a good old saying, what they don't know, don't hurt them.
Now, Bonzer, darling, let's not spoil everything by having an argument. You'll have to understand my relations with my husband are my own affair.
Well, it's up to you, love. You reckon he'll cut up rough?
No, I don't imagine that he'll cut up rough. That would be entirely unlike him. I'm confident that we can establish a modus vivendi. Archibald?
Yes, dear?
I want to tell you something.
Oh, just a minute, dear. I've almost finished this chapter.
This is rather important, Archibald.
Hope nothing unpleasant has happened, Patricia.
No, I shouldn't describe it as unpleasant. Hmm. Quite the reverse. Archibald, do you remember suggesting that I was developing a relationship with Bonzo?
Oh, I was exaggerating, of course.
No, it's not an exaggeration. Not now, it isn't. I mean, it isn't now.
Hmm. Well, perhaps you would better tell me precisely what has occurred.
Yes, I'm trying to. Well, then, while you were in your study this afternoon, Bonzo and I were up here in bed, having it off.
Having it off?
There are other ways of putting it. Bonzo uses that expression.
Having it off. You know, I don't think I've ever heard the preposition used in that sense.
Archibald, do try and take this seriously.
Yes, my dear. I can see that the event was of some importance to you. I am relieved, however, to hear that it was not of an unpleasant nature. Quite the reverse, I think you said. I conjecture, indeed, that you found it rewarding.
Well, I must say I did. Bonzo is quite astonishingly vigorous. Hmm. It was a novel experience from my point of view.
Yes, quite so. I don't really know, Patricia, that I feel called upon to make any further comment.
Archibald, I don't want you to imagine that I contemplated this when I asked him to repair the minstrel's gallery or the grand staircase.
Oh.
I can only say that at a certain moment it became irresistible. He suddenly kissed me. I'm sorry about this. I really am.
Oh, please don't distress yourself on my account, Patricia, after all. Our marriage has never depended on...
No, it hasn't, has it?
No.
Well, now I've told you. I knew I was right to do that. Bonzo was afraid that you'd be tiresome about it, but he doesn't know you as I do.
Quite so. Would you mind if I finished reading this chapter now?
Oh, by all means. I'm going to sleep. I've really had quite an exhausting day. Good night, Archibald.
Good night, Patricia. Oh.
Bonzo, that was absolutely marvellous. But honestly, I'm not used to such exertion.
Do let's have a rest, please.
Oh, you've got to do something to keep warm, love. Winter's coming on, you know.
You do like being here with me, don't you, darling?
I like it. It's perfect. That's what it is. Smashing bird, great wide bed, new mattress, nice big room. Everything quiet. Couldn't be better. Not like it sometimes is. You get a bloke in the next flat banging on the wall. Sort of spoils things, you know what I mean?
Yes, I imagine that must be tiresome. Thank goodness I've always been accustomed to plenty of space.
Bags of space in the old manor, that's a fact. Hey, Trish, that right, it's all empty up on the top floor?
The top floor? Oh, yes, yes, these were the servants' quarters. That's a thing of the past, of course. Bonzo, have you been exploring?
No, no, the kids told me. They had a game up there, hide and seek. Fran hid herself in her cupboard up in one of the empty rooms.
Oh, I've told her not to go up there. It's thick with dust, positively filthy. She is a disobedient child. I swear I'll tan her arse good and proper.
How many rooms is there up the top, Trish?
Oh, I couldn't say offhand. My parents used to have a considerable domestic staff. There's one large room, which was the dormitory for the upstairs maid. I suppose there must be about 8 or 10 rooms altogether.
Ah. You know, love, it might strike some people a bit funny, you sitting on 8 or 10 empty rooms.
Oh, I think so.
Well, when you've got families in unsuitable accommodation, living in caravans, for instance, you see what I mean?
Yes, if you look at it that way. James Carstairs was talking about that. Homeless persons is the phrase, I believe. There's some sort of obligation. Oh, dear, life is so complicated nowadays.
Oh, cheer up, Trish. Wipe the frown off your face. Spoils your beauty. I wasn't trying to get you all worried.
I'm not exactly worried. I'm just thinking. You know, Bonzo, I believe you've given me an idea.
What can I offer you, Pop? We have sherry, gin and tonic, whiskey.
What sort of whiskey might that be, Trish?
Scotch or Irish. Or this malt is rather special.
Oh, well, I'll try a drop of that, love. Gotta go down very well a day like this. It's perishing out, isn't it?
Yes.
Real treat, you know, sitting down by the old log fire.
Goldie, what will you have?
Oh, I'll have a gin and tonic, please, Trish.
Right. And you, Snow White?
Got any soft drinks, Trish, have you? I'm off the hard stuff, just for a time.
Certainly. Have some lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I needn't ask Bonzo. I know he favours Irish whiskey. He invited me to it, didn't you, darling?
That's right, love. Or she could be Welsh. Well,
this is really nice.
Yes,
it is. Down the hatch, everybody.
Oh, ah, nice. Cheers.
Cheers.
All the best.
Oh, that's beautiful. is Mr. Pulteney not going to join us?
No, he'll be having his sherry later. He's still bashing away at his book.
Aye.
Now, I believe Bonzo's talked to you about this scheme we have in mind. I do realise that those caravans are quite unsuitable for a tribe like yours as permanent accommodation. Mm-hmm. And since we have these rooms on the top floor of the manor, which I assure you we absolutely didn't need at all, it would be only common sense for you to take them over.
Trish, you put it that way, there's nothing to argue about, is there? I reckon you and Bonzo got it all worked out.
Quite so.
Straight up, Trish, you won't mind having all them kids in the house the whole time?
Yeah.
Not in the least. Oh. After all, they're here so much anyway, it won't hardly make no difference.
Right then, Trish, you're on.
Splendid. I'm afraid the rooms need a thorough clean-up, but presumably you'll all muck in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping you can move in by Christmas. We'll have a party to celebrate.
Oh, that's a great idea, that is. I tell you what, Trish, this comes just the right time. We're packed in tight as sardines down the caravans. I've been trying to figure out how we find room for one more.
We got to, though, haven't we, Snow White?
Oh, Goldie, I've got mumps here. I've hardly started.
Excuse me, can I understand?
Oh, that's it, love. I forgot to tell you. Snow White's in a club again.
Well, Trish, truth of it is, I wasn't exactly meaning to, only it sort of happens to me. Well, you meet a bloke and you want to be friendly and one thing leads to another. Know what I mean?
I do indeed. Well,
It's certainly convenient that we've got things worked out as we have. I had no idea that I'd be providing for an additional member of the tribe. But of course, there's plenty of room.
Trish, I do hope it isn't going to bother Mr. Pulteney too much. Been used to a quiet life, he has. I mean, we'd feel awful if it stopped him finishing his book.
Oh, bless you, Goldie. I don't believe that book will ever be finished. Mm. He'd be lost without it. In any case, I have plans for Archibald. I shall ensure that he benefits as much as everyone else.
No, no. No, indeed, Patricia. I am not objecting. I hope I don't give that impression. I am merely trying to accustom myself to the idea.
Have another sherry.
Oh, no, one glass will suffice, thank you, as usual. I must say, I should never have anticipated that you would be willing to bring the tribe into the manor. At the time of their arrival, you took rather a different attitude.
Nonsense, Archibald. I said I was going to get them out of the Long Meadow, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, yes, quite so. But I believe you said that I am also to benefit from the new arrangement. That aspect of it isn't quite clear to me.
I'm coming to that.
Ah.
You see, once the tribe take over their new home, they'll have no further use for the caravans. Those caravans would be at your disposal, Archibald. They're quite large. You could have one whole caravan for a study.
Oh.
You'd never be disturbed. Just think how you'd be able to concentrate on your book. Mm. And another caravan to sleep in. And a caravan as a dining room. A breakfast and luncheon room, I mean. Naturally, I'd drive down and fetch you for dinner.
Mm. And drive me back after dinner, I take it.
Oh, yes, of course.
Ah. I presume that you and Bonzo are still having it on with undiminished enthusiasm.
Having it off?
Having it off. I stand corrected. I see that you have thought of everything, Patricia. The arrangement promises advantages for all concerned.
You're so nice, Archibald.
Oh.
You really are. Oh. I think any woman would be glad to have a husband like you.
That, my dear, is very probably true.
What do I see? I see an empty glass. And that empty glass is in the lily-white hand of our gracious hostess. Oh, we can't have that now, can we? Come on, Trish. Let old Pop look after you.
Oh, no, 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 Pop. I've had quite enough. One more glass of champagne and I shall be absolutely pissed.
Oh, come on, love. You wanted to have a party. You've got to enjoy it.
Oh, I'm enjoying it tremendously. Especially with this superb champagne that Pop's contributed. Where did you get it, Pop? I'm afraid it must have cost you a fortune.
Oh, go on, Trish. You don't think it come over the counter, do you? There's ways and ways.
Now, there's one thing wrong with this party. It's too quiet. Let's have some music. Come on, Pluto. There's a piano. Get cracking.
You're going to sing for us soon, but
everybody's going to sing. Everybody's going to join in. We'll have a song everybody knows. Lily of Laguna.
She's my lady love. She is my love. My baby love. She's the girl for Sinbad to dream. She's the only Queen Laguna knows. I know she likes me. I know she likes me. Because she said so. She is my lily of Laguna. She is my lily and my rose.
Now then, you lot. You're getting warmed up a bit, are you? Right. Now you know what's coming then. Clear the floor. Right. Turn it up and around. At the table you must go. E-I-E-I-E-I-O. In the kitchen bending. I saw your lips fly off. Oh. There's a thing that don't get me. That means that I'm a brown. Oh, my. What a rotten song. What a rotten song. What a rotten song. Oh, my. What a rotten song. And what a rotten singer too.
Smashing, absolutely smashing. I say, can we do it again?
Why? Away you go, mate. Ah, things up on the brown. At the table you must go. E-I-E-I-E-I-O. People catch you bending. I saw your legs like a...
Daddy? Can I come in, Daddy?
Francesca, my dear. Have you walked all the way from the manor? It's a cold night. I anticipate quite a severe frost.
You've made it jolly nice here, Daddy.
Yes, yes. The books fit rather well on those shelves, don't you think? But isn't this the night of the party?
Yes, it's too bad you're missing it.
But I don't think I should have found the atmosphere congenial. I'm quite content with my own company, believe me. I shouldn't wish to be a spectre at the feast.
I brought you some champagne, Daddy.
Oh, how very thoughtful of you. I doubt if I shall succeed in getting through the bottle, but I will do my best.
And here's some of the eats. Some of the turkey and some mince pies.
Ooh, are you sure that you are authorised to do this, Francesca?
I just nicked them. Nobody's going to notice.
In that case, I need not scruple to accept them. I do hope it's a good party.
Oh, yes, it's a super party. Pluto's playing the piano and everybody's singing and dancing.
Well, you mustn't miss any of the festivities, my dear. You must hasten back.
All right. Can I kiss you goodnight, Daddy? Same as I used to.
Thank you, Francesca. Kiss me goodnight.
Daddy?
Yes?
Are you all right, Daddy?
Perfectly all right. I shall enjoy my slice of turkey and a little champagne, read for an hour or so, and then retire to my tranquil bed.
No, I don't just mean tonight. Daddy, are you all right? Honestly, are you?
I am happy and contented, I assure you. Just as your mother, I trust, is happy. You see, Francesca, in the course of this eventful year, I have never worried. I was always sure that everything would turn out for the best.
Taking Over was written for radio by Mervyn Jones. Lady Patricia Pulteney was played by Vivian Pickles. Archibald, Freddie Jones. And Francesca, Yvonne Antrobus. John Hollis was Pop. John Strickland, Bonzo. Francis Jeter, Snow White. Maggie McCarthy, Goldie. Michael Jenner, Mickey. And Peter Acre, Pluto. The police inspector was played by Colin Starkey. And Sir James Carstairs by Henry Stamper. The play was directed by Michael Heffernan.
Taking Over will be repeated on Monday at 2 minutes past 3.